We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Let's begin with a reality check in the form of a question. Do we ever fall into the trap where we play God in our own personal lives? Consider a glaring example of this. Whenever we actively sin, if you decide to do something you want to do, something contrary to what God wants, in other words, you know the line and you cross it anyway, in pursuing that sin, you are playing God, and in the process, breaking the first commandment plus another one. Yes, we fall into the trap of playing God more than we realize. However, as followers of Christ, you are learning to own up to that, to repent of it, to fight against it for more reasons than one. Surely it's something we know to be wrong and in need of God's forgiveness, but we also know that we are not qualified, not in the least, to decide what only God can decide, or to say and do what only God can say and do. As part of our Christian growth, we are put back into the right position of being under God and surrounded by Him. It's a very good thing what we hear in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Let's rephrase. Say nothing. Do nothing. And let God be God in every moment, every situation, every decision, every time of confusion, and every kind of crisis. It's a principle to apply, for example, in religion class or Bible class with that tough question which the prof or the pastor can't really answer to one's satisfaction. I'll offer an example that people do ask, including Christians. It goes something like this. If God knew beforehand that Adam and Eve would fall into sin and bring this horrible curse upon all of creation, why did He create them in this way where they were able to disobey Him in the Garden of Eden? I can't answer that. Because God does not tell us. Now here's the thing. Are we okay with the silence on the matter? The lack of an answer? Can we leave it at that? Can we tell our curious mind, so driven by corrupt human reason, to be still and let God be God? Another category of thought to consider in about 15-some years, from the 2000-2001 onward, we have seen a noticeable rise in human tragedies brought on by unspeakable levels of violence or large-scale natural disasters. During such events, people bring the hard questions and lay them at God's doorstep. Why, God? If God really cared, why do you let this happen? If God really does have power over everything and everyone, why didn't He stop it? From a Christian perspective, we go to the Bible and we find those truths, those verses that say God's love for all people is equally unconditional. And those verses that say, yes, He has supreme control over everything He made, including the forces of nature, and also those passages that say he does not want anyone to suffer or perish. Still, when you lay out all the Bible truths in front of you, there will be gaps that you can't fill, dots that I cannot connect, because God does not connect them. We need this reminder not to play God with other people's tragedies or even with our own problems. It's just a matter of time, isn't it, when we personally experience the kind of crisis brought on by a serious accident or disease or the death of a loved one. Those are the moments when we're challenged. We're tempted to say, why this? Why now? Often failing to realize that the question could better be phrased, why didn't it happen sooner? Curiously, though, God does not respond with an answer to our question. Rather, He responds with promises and assurances we can cling to in His Word. His Word which tells us, yes, He allowed that to happen to you, but He still loves you all the same. He will see you through it. He will cause this negative to turn out for your good. He'll do that because of His Son. Be still and know that I am God. We need that principle at work when facing the greatest crisis ever, which we all have brought on for ourselves by our own sin. When you are in the position of having sinned against God, you are, in a word, helpless. There's nothing you can say to defend what you did or excuse what you are by nature. There's nothing you can do to take it back or make it go away. Your only recourse is to let Jesus be Jesus, the one who took all your guilt upon Himself, paid off your debt with God for you, the one who replaced all your failure with His righteousness, and to this day and beyond is causing His Father, your judge, to say as the official word on the matter, you are washed clean. You are not guilty. You belong to Him. When you are in the position of letting God be your Savior God, then all is well with you, no matter what the circumstances in your life happen to be. When you're in that safe position of His grace, then by all means join the psalm writer in saying with joy and confidence, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Let us close our worship today with the first two stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 2 of hymn 651. 651. soccer team over there, please.